Welcome back to Internet Frenzy.
Welcome back, guys. How are ya?
Happy to be back. Let's jump right into it. Last week, we had the episode about conspiracy theories. That was fun. Not going to recap every single story. I will just tell you. The one that was fake, it was my story. The one about them finding a little silver box at the World Trade Center. Not one of my best fake stories, but we roll with it. There were no aliens involved in 9/11.
Well, that we know of.
Well, that we know of.
Exactly.
That was the fake one. So if you guessed that already, good on you. If you didn't, keep practicing. That one was pretty obvious, in my opinion. We know the Charlie Kirk one wasn't fake. Let's jump into this week's episode, shall we?
We shall. I'm excited. What's the theme of this week's episode?
Summer's wildest Reddit updates.
It's fall now, guys. So we've got to close the chapter of summer, and we're going to come out with a bang. And don't worry, the next few episodes after this are going to be spooky, Halloween, scary, creepy, crawly. I am so excited. This is my favorite month of us doing episodes is October.
It's pretty decent.
It's pretty decent, but summer was good, and Reddit was good to us this summer. The story, so I'm excited to share some of them.
We jumping right into it. So I'm gonna start us off. Internet frenzy, electric love, so trendy. Bites and bits were blending. One click, no pretending. This story comes from Best of Redditor Updates. The original was posted in June 2024, and the final update was September
27th, 2025. Oh, dang.
So this spanned two summers.
Wow. Okay.
This one's a doozy. My fiance was tricked and lost our down payment and savings.
Oh.
My fiance was selling his old mountain bike online. Someone messaged my fiance with an offer, and this person said they would send it. The writer says my fiance, like, every other word, it's a little bit excessive, feels like to me. So I'm going to do my own little edits. Let's just call the fiance D. Someone messaged D with an offer, and this person said they would send D the funds in advance and send their cousin to pick up the bike the next day. D had promised me he would only accept pickup in person with cash in hand. For context, and so this post makes sense, in Canada, the main way and safest transferring funds done is through your bank. Is tied to your bank account. You can only transfer what you have in your bank account, and even then there's a daily limit. It is also tied to your identity since it's tied to your bank account. D told the buyer he would accept a transfer. This is where the scam started. The buyer sent it, but he accidentally added an extra zero to the amount. My fiance told the buyer he would transfer it back since it was a mistake. He told my fiance that he got locked out of his bank due to the mistake with the previous transfer, so my fiance should transfer it to his, the buyer's, cousin's account.
No.
My fiance did that. I have no idea why my fiance, D, you see why it's like 100 times, sent back the whole amount instead of the extra minus the payment for the bike. The buyer sent another transfer and the same thing happened. Then the buyer asked D to use a different app that starts with a P since he was still locked out of his bank account. He sent it to D, but again, he added an extra zero to the amount and also doubled it. Again, my fiance sent back the funds. The buyer then asked if D would take a check. They arranged for my fiance to meet the buyer's cousin in person, and they would exchange the bike for the check. When D got the check, it was higher than the agreed upon amount, but the cousin told D it was a bonus for all his trouble. D deposited the check and eventually used some of the funds, or attempted to. The funds from the first transfer was from a bank account that was stolen due to identity theft. That transfer was reversed. The funds from the transfer on the other app was stolen from an account as well, and the app reversed that transfer. The check was fake and was clawed back by the bank. This all on top of the transfers that my fiance made to pay back the criminal. Our entire savings account is gone. What we had saved for a down payment, we were looking for a house, and now everything is gone. I didn't find out about any of this until after the fact. I get alerts anytime there's a transaction on our savings account, but my fiance deleted them. I do shift work, so I was asleep. My fiance went into my phone and deleted the text because he didn't want me to find out he broke his promise about only accepting cash for the bike.
No.
I am so angry. I'm not an angry guy in general, but I am furious about this.
Oh my gosh.
We've been dealing with the bank and with the other app. No success. We took the messages between my fiance and the buyer and the doorbell cam footage to different levels of the police. However, it didn't change anything. Our money is gone.
Oh
We were hoping the bank could reverse the transfers my fiance made at least, but the transfers were made into a compromised account and the money was immediately moved.
Stop. Stop the story. I'm going to throw up.
Yeah, you love money.
Continue.
The bank also says my fiance voluntarily and willingly made the transfers. We've given the police report to the bank, but it's not likely to change anything. Also, because of the fake check, our savings account was closed. It had a zero balance, and so was my fiance's personal bank account.
Zero?
Zero. I use a different bank, so my personal bank account wasn't affected. The bank says my fiance has to take his banking somewhere else, and also that they will not provide mortgage services to us. Not that we will be buying a house now since our entire down payment is gone. I have warned my fiance that anyone who says they can recover the money is lying and he must ignore them. I will also ignore anyone who says they can do that. I'm devastated. I know it was just money, but I feel like I'm on a nightmare. I try to be a calm and laid back guy, but that money was everything we had. We had to cancel our wedding venue so we could get our deposit back just so we could afford our rent for July. I'm so angry with my fiance, not just about getting tricked, but because he lied to me. He broke his promise and he lied to me. More than the money, he broke my heart, and right now I hate him. This is like a nightmare I can't wake up from. Thanks for listening.
Oh my gosh.
He's banged up.
Oh, I want to know how much money he had.
Well, I mean, it's...
I guess it doesn't really matter either way. Like,
I'm just thinking, so he said that he added a zero on two of the transactions. So I'm thinking maybe it's like a middle of the road mountain bike. Let's just say hypothetically it's a $600 bike.
Yeah, so $6,000.
Yeah, twice. And then there was one time he said that he added a zero and then doubled it.
What is he? What?
Yeah, it's like, wait, oh yeah, you sent me 12 grand. I'll just send this back.
Okay, so they're from Canada?
Yeah.
And they were living in Canada. Everything's in Canada.
Yeah.
Okay. Have Canada people not heard this? Like how they do this scamming-wise?
All the comments are like, dog.
How do you not know?
They hit my husband with this in 2003 and he sniffed it out then. Like, come on.
Yeah. Okay. Is there updates to this?
There is an update.
Oh my gosh. Is there any other thoughts you have?
For me, no. It's just, dude, don't do that. What do you think about, is the relationship salvageable is what I want to know.
Oh, shoot.
So this is 15 months later.
That's a long time. That's enough time for them to figure their crap out.
It's been a rough year, but I, 32M, wanted to post an update because so many people were helpful and supportive in what was a very dark time. My fiance, David, M33, see why I called him D, had promised me he would only take cash in person when selling his old mountain bike. I don't know why he accepted advance payments from someone he never met. I don't know why he kept taking electronic payments when there were so many problems. I don't know why he accepted advance payments from someone he never met. I don't know why he kept taking electronic payments when there were so many problems. I don't know why he took a check instead of cash when he met the buyer in person. He lied to me about that. He also tried to hide it from me when the money started to be clawed back. He turned off the text alerts option from our bank when I was sleeping, so I didn't realize what was going on or that money was getting clawed back. Losing the money when we were in the middle of looking for a house was devastating. What was even more devastating was David lying and trying to hide this from me. Between his lying, acting like this wasn't a big deal, losing our down payment, and having to cancel our wedding venue to get our deposit back so we could pay our rent, my relationship with David fell apart. I was so angry with him. I've spent the last year dealing with the police, the bank, and the other app, and all of the wedding vendors we had to cancel on. The police say it is a common scam, and David wasn't the only victim they know about. It was hell. Even worse than all of that was David lying to me and doing this and not realizing he was being tricked out of our money. David and I had moved out here a few years ago because the house prices were the lowest in the country. After we broke up, I heard David move back to his home province. I'm staying here, I have a life here, a good job, and I'm not exactly on the best terms with my family. But having to start over from scratch after what David did was hard. The last year was a dark time. Not the worst in my life, but close. David tried to say I was victim blaming him because I was angry. He said he tried to hide what happened because he was ashamed. But he destroyed my trust and our relationship. Some days I still can't believe this happened. In short, my relationship with David is over. I had to find a new place to live. Our savings were lost and I'm starting over from scratch. I will be okay, but it was a hard year.
Like, it's crazy to me is that I feel like everyone obviously has the agency to like choose which hard they're gonna take. Like, what's there's a fork in the road at that point. Which one am I choosing? And there's so many people that I have been around or like friends and family where I've seen them all at that fork of the road. I'd say 95% of them have chosen to stay with their couple, you know? And then I've seen the other 5% choose to like, enough, I'm out. And it's just interesting. Both sides, they both have like heart. So just listening to him, like, I was thinking like, what if he would have chosen to stay? There's other people out there that have worked through things that are probably worse than that.
Yeah.
I would say. And so it's just, I don't know. It's just interesting to me that like he decided to dip from that.
Yeah, I get you. I think actually that's a good point, because if you wanted to really empathize with David, the one that got scammed.
Yeah, he panicked and didn't want to get caught with something like being so stupid.
Yeah, that's like, it's really easy to be like, dude, you're a moron. Like, yeah. why didn't you know? But like, I've been scammed before.
I know. This story made me think of that when you first started reading it. I was dying laughing because I was the fiance in this story.
Yeah, I mean, and like,
where I was like kind of mad at you. Like, what were you effing thinking?
What were you thinking? And like, I'll tell it really quick. I've actually told it on like one of our early episodes of the podcast, but I was driving for DoorDash. And there's some elaborate scheme where they use an IP address, they make a DoorDash order that they have no intention of paying for, and then they use a DoorDash, like they put their caller ID as DoorDash, and then they call you. And so I was like, I don't know if they knew, but I was very early on in my dashing. We had fallen on hard times financially for a number of reasons that we won't go into right now. And it was just rough, but I was DoorDashing for a very short time, a couple of days, but had made maybe like about $200 because I was doing it pretty regularly. And all of a sudden I get this call on my phone and it comes up and like has caller ID on just my iPhone. It says DoorDash. So I answer it and person sounded legit. Like they sounded like they knew their stuff. They're like, hello, yeah, you just received an order, right? Like you just received an order to go to Wendy's. We just need you to, we're going to walk you through disabling the order. Go ahead and pull over. I pulled over. Did this thing and they're like walking me through and I had to update my email or have an email sent through to me. And so like I gave them my email address to have it sent through. Yeah. And it was like an immediate transfer thing. Anyways, the long and short of it is it was some elaborate scheme. They were using an IP address. They made a fake DoorDash order. A real Dasher picked it up and somehow they were able to contact me. And because they got my email, they were able to access my account. Or I think they asked for the code. See, I'm dumb. I'm the dumb one. But whatever it was, they got in there and they immediately transferred the like $200 or whatever. And I was beside myself. I couldn't believe it.
We were literally like, Heavenly Father, what is like, happening? Like, we can't afford anything right now. Please, that money was literally, that $200 was going to be our groceries for the freaking month. Eating ramen. Like, it was... We were really, really low at that point. And it was the worst thing. Scammers, how dare you? Leo Stravers, scam the rich. Like, what are you doing?
It's like, if you have to scam for a living, how do you target the people that are doing, like, what your dumb ass should be doing? Yeah. Get out there and DoorDash and don't steal from the Dashers. That's such bullshit. Oh, that pisses me off.
We were devastated. So... I was trying, but I think that's how I could relate a little bit to this story. I mean, I can't, but I can.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, he made a dumb mistake. And yes, he lied and was trying to hide it because he knew it was such a big deal. $200 is nothing compared to what they lost.
Right. Like, no, yeah.
Nothing. But I just, that feeling of just like, Joe, are you serious?
Like, how did you not know? I'm like, I don't know what you want me to say. I've never gotten a phone call from DoorDash before. And whatever they used to strip, it was like... They knew what they were doing. And then when I called DoorDash customer support, they're like, oh yeah, like we don't ever call you. I was like, how? Okay, thanks for telling me, but how would I ever know that? No, what I wanted to say though is just to be the voice of reason a little bit, just a smidge. It's so easy again to be like, yeah, David's an idiot. You shouldn't have fallen for it, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But if you really want to empathize, put yourself in somebody else's shoes. Like just think about not knowing. Like, think about David, like, trying to get this deal done. He's excited. He's getting money for his bike. It comes through. And he's like, it's not that the red flag goes off and he ignores it. He did it multiple times. So it's like, it's just pure ignorance. And that deserves nothing but just like sympathy. Like, sorry, dude, that sucks that that happened to you. Because if you don't know, it doesn't cross your mind, but you don't know.
But in the middle of the night, he turned off his alerts and his notifications. Like, no, there is a sense of like...
A pause. I'm saying just for where his mind, just from where he was operating from, like, that's a horrible thing to have to go through. And then he's worried about, like, getting eviscerated by, obviously, the type A person in the relationship. I'm not justifying it by any means. Turning off the text was completely wrong. Don't just call David an idiot. That's all I'm trying to say. David is learning by example. It's like a four-year-old. If I took my kid's toy away with no intention of giving it back and I go and throw it in the dumpster, why'd you do that? That was messed up. David's the kid, okay?
Oh, gosh. That's like 30 years old. But yeah, no, I get it. I get where you're going.
Do you?
No, yeah, I do.
That's my main objective. If any of you get it too, that's bonus. But
as long as I do.
Yeah.
That was a crazy story.
You like it?
Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah, the next one is going to make everyone cry. So.
Well, I'm up next.
I mean after you go.
Of course. Okay. My best friend's husband went through my phone and it ended our friendship. My 26F best friend, 26F, and I had been friends since we were little. We grew up in a small town and played on the same sports teams. We went to different public schools, but eventually went to the same high school and had prom together. I was her maid of honor, and we even have a couple matching tattoos together. Essentially, we've been through all the ups and downs of life together. She's one of those people I always thought would be in my life forever. As for her husband, 26M, I was actually friends with him before they even got together. We met in high school, and there have been many times that we were there for each other, and I consider him a best friend. That's why what happened completely shocked me and has left our friendship in pieces. One day, she and I went for a long walk to check out a new grocery store in town. Yes, in small towns, we get excited about things like a new grocery store. I left my phone at her house like I've done many, many, many times before, and we went on our way. About halfway there, she got a call from her husband. I believe just checking in, but also to say my phone's alarm was going off. I told her I didn't have any alarms set, but he asked for my passcode so he could turn it off. I didn't give it much thought, but it seems responsible. I gave it to her to pass along. Keep in mind, they both have had access to my phone before, either to call themselves because they lost their phone in the couch or to look something up and didn't want to get up on their own phone that was charging a ways away. Either way, I have trusted both of them for years with my phone and to respect my privacy. When we got back about 3.5 hours later, like I said, a long walk, I checked my phone and could see that the alarm clock app was still left open in the background. So I assume he'd go into that app and turn off an alarm. Then I see that my phone was left on a different page than where the alarm clock app had been. My clock app is on my homepage. I also always swipe to my homepage before locking my phone. I mean, I have some weird OCD tendencies to always do this. If I forget, I will open my phone again and do it. I cannot emphasize this enough that I always do this. So it was weird that I was swiped 2 pages over. Then I noticed I missed a call from my boyfriend, 25M, and a bunch of Snapchat notifications from her work friend's group chat. When I asked her husband if that's what he heard going off, he avoided eye contact and vaguely said, I don't know, it was just some alarm sound. Later at home, I told my roommate, 23F, and her friend, 23F, what happened and why I felt weird about it, but was looking for them to both tell me I'm crazy and overthinking things. But my roommate, being the little detective that she is, checked my phone's screen time history. And that's when things got really unsettling. According to screen time, during the hours I was gone, my phone showed about 15 minutes in Snapchat, 15 minutes in my photos, 10 minutes in my Google photos, and 5 minutes in my text messages, and only 15 seconds in the alarm clock app. I'm stunned. We did some research and learned that background apps don't count towards screen time unless they're actively open on the screen. So this meant he was actively in those apps. I immediately confronted my best friend about it. She spoke to her husband right away to get the reason for this. But of course, he came back with a bunch of inconsistent excuses, saying he only opened apps to stop the alarm and didn't actually look at anything. He claimed he opened apps and notifications but didn't read them, then closed them all. But his story kept changing, and nothing explained why he was in my photos at all, where there are no alarms or notifications. When I pointed out the holes in his story and the screen time proof, she asked me, do you have proof he went through your photos? I just don't understand why you're so adamant that he's lying. That honestly broke me. I showed her the evidence and she still defended him. I can understand that they are married and she's going to take her partner's word, but the proof I had was pretty solid. I can't understand denying it. Maybe I can see having a united front and questioning it behind closed doors, but she completely ignored and dismissed my feelings and wanted to brush this under the rug. I took a couple of days and talked to my boyfriend about this, since they're also his friends too. My boyfriend and her husband have known and grew up with each other since they were babies. They got really close in college when they all lived together, and when my boyfriend and I started dating, the double dates never stopped. My boyfriend felt disrespected and violated as well. Since we did start dating in COVID and have sent things back and forth, it wasn't just my personal photos that he could have been looking through. From posting the first time, a lot of people were stuck on the fact that I didn't hide or lock my nudes, which I did, but the password in my phone is the same password to the hidden album. After a couple of days, she had tried to text me and send me memes like nothing had happened, so I explained it again that it was wrong what her husband did, and if I was her, I'd look through his phone. I asked for space, and I haven't spoken to either of them in 3 months. My phone plan was up and I got a new phone, but there was some confusion about keeping my number and now I have a new one. So she couldn't contact me even if she wanted to. My boyfriend wants nothing to do with them and he also believes her husband is a cheating asshole and was looking for news. He thinks that we're better off without them. I feel so heartbroken and betrayed and I keep going back and forth on what to do. Should I try reaching out so she at least has my new number, or should I cut my losses and move on?
This lady needs to know what a TLDR is. It's as simple as husband's friends looked for my nudes. Am I the a-hole for not wanting to be their friend anymore?
Do you think no. that's what happened?
Yeah.
So do you think there actually was an alarm, or do you think he was just no. there and saw her phone was down to look?
That it's the fact that she even fell for it. She's as dumb as David. Literally, because when an alarm goes off on your phone, there's snooze and stop, yeah. whether it's locked or not.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't have words. Don't give that guy your password to your phone. And when you're in podunk small town USA, take your phone with you so that if you get kidnapped, they can track you. Anytime we go anywhere, we go to the gas station or the movies or whatever, and she tries to leave her phone, I'm like, take your damn phone. There's a reason that you have it and it's supposed to go everywhere with you. It's, you need it on you. It's safety.
I never bring my phone. Like the other day I had to run into Trader Joe's and I left my phone in the car and ran in. Joe parked and I didn't know where he was. So I just stood outside of Trader Joe's just staring into the abyss.
What do you guys think I was doing?
Honking?
No, it's a parking lot full of people. I was parked just on the opposite side. And I see you walk out and you walk and look and like she's looking right at where I am. So I'm like, okay, she's going to walk over here. It's great. And then she just stops and turns around and goes back to the front. I'm like, oh, she wants me to go and like drive the carriage up to the front and, you know, put her in the chariot. And we go on about our day. So this is like this little Trader Joe's parking lot, just like the road rage. I can just feel it right now because people are just backing up into you, walking across. You can't go anywhere. It takes so long. So I have to back up and swoop down and around. And on my way around, I get up to the front through thousands of people. And I'm looking and she's gone. And guess what? She doesn't have a phone. Gosh, I'm like, where the hell did she go? Where, like, you were at the front of the store. You started walking towards me and then you stopped. Where are you?
I was there.
Like, looking through where I was parked. The parking space is still open. I don't know what to do. She'd, like, walk all the way down to the end, over to the side. Who even knows? Finally spots me.
See, I don't bring my phone. That could happen to me. I felt like that would happen.
Oh, you'd be like, oh, yeah, here's my code. Go ahead and look through it, Kevin.
I think she's just more upset that the friend's not believing her. And she's like, dude, your husband's a piece of shiz. He's freaking like
yeah.
cheating on you.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to mine. This one comes from Best of Redditor Updates. Would I be the a-hole if I didn't tell my best friend that I'm dying? I recently got diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer that somehow went undetected before. And I have up to 3 months to live, according to the doctor. I could try treatments, but it's going to be expensive as hell, and at most, it's going to extend my life by a few more months before I die anyways. So I decided I'd just take it and face it head on. Now, my best friend since forever and his wife finally got pregnant after 8 years of trying with no luck, and they're genuinely the happiest I've ever seen them. He knows I was in the hospital and they came to check on me multiple times, and I just told them that they shouldn't bother and that it wasn't serious. I don't want to make one of the happiest times of both of their lives sad just for me. It's going to happen eventually when I do go, and I know it's going to destroy him because we're genuinely closer to each other than we are to our own siblings. He already told me that I'm going to be his daughter's godfather, and I genuinely hope I'd get to see her at least once before I go. I'm single with no children, and I'm planning to split my estate to give some to my older sister and set up college funds for her three children, who I love very much, and to my parents, and I want to give something to my friend. I want to set up a little college fund for their future baby daughter. I'm also writing a long, personalized letter to a lot of family and friends, and I'm writing his now, and I can't stop crying. I'm apologizing for keeping this a secret, and I said I didn't want to take the spotlight, and that I love him and his wife, and that I know their daughter would be the most loved baby in the world. But I'm wondering if this is the right thing to do, or if it hurt him even more when I go, should I just tell him?
Oh, that's so sad. What an incredible person.
That's tough, huh?
He's so alone. This is like, and his family doesn't know, or he's, I mean, that's not part of the story, but
we don't know for sure. But there is, I'm just going to tell for your sake right now, there is an update. You could read the comments on Best Redditor Updates. I'm not going to, but this is the update. He posted it the same day, only 5 hours after the original post.
Oh, wow.
Thanks for all your kind words to me, and I'm sorry about all your loved ones who suffered the same. Almost all of you suggested telling him about it, and y'all gave me perspectives I honestly didn't think about, and so I did it last night. Right now it's 6 a.m. over here, but last night after I posted it, got most of your messages, I called him. He answered on the second ring, and I just broke down and started crying. I told him everything about why I was really in the hospital that time and about my diagnosis and the fact I have up to 3 months to live. He broke down and called me a bastard and a liar and told me to stop effing with him. Then he hung up on me, and 15 minutes later, he came over still in his pajamas, and we just hugged and cried. I showed him my medical records and reports, and I showed him the post and the comments, and he called me crazy and a damn idiot for even thinking about not telling him. He said he'd have hated me and himself if I died without telling him before that. And he said, I'm more important to him than a million babies. We stayed up the entire night just talking about it and life and reliving our memories and laughing and crying and stuff. He even took a video of us just talking. I cannot do it. Sad. Death is sad. He even took a video of us just talking, and he asked if I really wanted to leave something to him and his daughter, and I was like, yeah. I joked that I wouldn't be needing the money anyway and that I'm throwing it in the trash, basically, and he laughed like it's the funniest thing ever. He just left right now because his wife has an early doctor's appointment tomorrow, and I begged him before that that I don't want any pity or sadness from him or anybody else, and he said, bitch, I'd never cry for you. After a whole night of him indeed crying for me, by the way. And we hugged, and he told me to get some sleep and rest because we have a long day today. I asked what he meant, and he told me I'd see. So yeah, I feel like a huge weight was lifted off me, and it's mainly thanks to all of you. Thank you again. Update number two.
Okay, good.
I can't reply to any comments or post anything on my original account, and I wanted to give y'all one last update because none of this would have happened without y'all. So there was no doctor's appointment. Instead, he had his wife bake me this family recipe cake that I absolutely love, and they came over at 10 a.m. with the cake. His wife gave me the biggest mama bear hug and cried and said she loves me and asked if it was true, and I said yeah, and we sat down and cried. They were crying for me, but I was crying because the cake was so good. Then they took me out for a family fun day out, and it was honestly so good. We went to the mall and watched the Conjuring movie in the cinema because we all love horror. And we even did karting, just me and my friend, though, because she's too pregnant for this. They took me to my favorite restaurant and refused to let me pay for anything the entire day. We then went to a beach and watched the sun go down, and we just talked more about it, and we cried some more. I told them when I'm dead, I don't want them to be sad at all for me, or else I'd haunt them forever. And I told them to love their baby daughter extra hard for me, and they filmed multiple videos of me saying they want to remember my voice, which honestly hit me really hard. They told me they wanted me to move in with them until I go because they wanted as much time with me as possible and would love having me around. And honestly, it's perfect timing because my lease literally ends 2 weeks from now. They don't want to leave me alone, so they're both sleeping at my place tonight. We're giving my bed to his wife and we're taking the couches. I don't wish this sickness on my worst enemy, but honestly, I'm feeling so lucky and loved right now. They literally would not leave me alone, and honestly, I couldn't be any happier. I just wish I'd get to meet their baby at least once before I die, and it's possible because she's in her 7th month. Tomorrow, I'm planning to go and tell the rest of my closest family and friends. Again, thanks for all your nice words to me. This was posted on the 27th of September.
Oh.
Took him to play games, go-karting.
Really? It wasn't like, we'll do it in the 3rd month.
Yeah, like, we'll do it when you're there.
You're there.
Somebody commented, "Damn, someone is aggressively cutting onions near me."
Oh, that's cute.
It's crazy though, because that's a very moving story. You can feel just from OP, who is very much a dude writer. Everything's just a comma, a little bit hard to read, but he and that best friend are straight up like two peas in a pod. And OP, OOP, so the guy that posted the original, the guy that's dying, he comments all over the place. He's got a good sense of humor. It's fun if you want to go read it. Painful to try to put yourself in their shoes, but would you want to tell? Would you make like this kind of whatever? Not like a parade, but like you want to be like, "Hey, everyone, I'm terminal."
Yeah, I'm telling everyone because I would be so scared. I would need my people. Like, I wouldn't want to be alone in that. I wouldn't want to deal with that alone.
But I'm like, who would you tell? Would you? Because you have to think about how exhausting that would be. People that love you, they're just going to turn into a puddle. And like, yeah, there's support there, but it's also like this, like,
kind of having to like emotionally support them at times as well.
Yeah, you're causing them to grieve you and you're still there. But that's
that's hard.
I just think it's cool. The friend and the friend's wife, they did a perfect example of that's how you support somebody in that. It's like, you just be there for them, love them.
Yes.
That's so terrible.
No, that's so horrific. Would you tell?
Yeah, I think I would tell. How's that for an update story?
That's sad. I'm glad we're not ending on that because I'm going to be depressed.
OP's not the a-hole, though. That was the consensus.
Not to my story. Am I the a-hole for asking a girl not to film me at the gym? I, 23F, was at the gym yesterday when I noticed a girl setting up her phone across from me. At first, I brushed it off. People record themselves all the time. But after my first couple reps, I realized I was dead center in her shot. I instantly felt embarrassed. The thought of being background content for some stranger's TikTok made my stomach drop. I racked the weights, cleaned up my area, and decided to move to a machine on the other side of the room. I got through one set in my new spot before I noticed her again. She had walked over, set her phone up right next to me, and once again had me in the frame. This time, I couldn't just ignore it. Between sets, I tried to get her attention and said, "Hey, would you mind angling it so I'm not in the shot?" She looked straight at me, tapped her headphones, mimed, "I can't hear you," and just kept going. At this point, I was getting hella pissed, so I went into the bathroom to try and calm down. When I came back out, I nearly bumped into her. She was glued to her phone, editing the very footage she had just taken with me in it. She walked past me without even noticing. That's when I decided to find a worker and explain. I told him what happened and he said, "Oh, she's not filming you. She's just filming herself." And brushed me off like I was being dramatic. I tried to hold my ground, but he clearly was not having it, so I decided to head home. I sat in my car for a few minutes, still replaying it in my head, raging. That's when I saw the worker walking out of the building, holding hands with the TikToker. They laughed, got into the same car, and drove away together. I went from feeling brushed off to realizing I never even had a chance of being taken seriously. So, am I the a-hole for not wanting to be in the background of her TikToks, or is it that just something you have to accept if you work out in public?
No, you're not the a-hole. And guess what? There's a whole guy that's made millions of dollars just eviscerating people that do that. Joey Swole?
Yeah, I love his videos. I really do.
Be better.
Have you ever had that experience where someone was like filming and you're like in the background and you notice?
No, not in recent memory.
Oh, that's nice.
But that's it. The gym we go to, filming's not allowed.
Yeah.
I'm sure people still like sneak it and do stuff, but I also just, I don't care.
Yeah. I don't see anyone really. Well, I've seen a few. Well, I have an experience. So I just got back into going to the gym. I decided I was going to take this like hip hop class. So I take this hip hop class and I go in thinking like, oh, it's going to be fun. They're going to like teach us a dance in the class and then we're going to do it. Because like with high fit or anything like that, you're like learning the dance as you go. And it's like easy steps that like, by the end of the class, you're like, you're in it with the class. You're not just like standing on the side looking like an idiot. Like, I don't know what's happening. So I figured that's what this hip hop class would be. No, it's so stupid how they set this up. I haven't been since, but it's fine. Anyways, walk in thinking I'm just going to learn it. I am standing there. I went in the back. I'm standing there looking like an idiot because I could not figure it out. Literally, you walk in, they turn the music on. It's like, let's go. Girls, boom, just start doing all the crap, twerking on the floor, rolling. I don't splits. I don't even freaking know. And I'm just standing there like, what in the hell? Where are we? What am I doing here? And everyone in the back, didn't know what they were doing. So we all are just like scattering. You know when you're like trying to do a dance that you don't know the dance? And so you're like 5 steps behind.
Yeah.
I was literally us in the back the whole time. And I was next to this grandma, and she had been to a few classes before, so she knew a little bit more than me. But they do new dances every class. So I'm trying so hard. I'm like bright red because I am getting a workout and I'm trying. And I don't feel attractive at all. Like, I don't feel good about myself while I'm doing it, but I'm like, I'm just going to try. It was almost at the end of the workout or the hip hop class. I like look in the corner of my eye to my right. There is an iPhone set up directly at me, and it's the front screen. So I can see it. Like, I am in the shot. It's me, and then there was this lady that was next to me, and it was her phone. She was filming, and she was filming me and her doing this class, and I'm literally like, oh my gosh, this entire class, I've been filmed, and I look like an idiot. I mean, if that was posted on TikTok, I promise you, it would have gone viral. I promise you, because I was trying so hard. And I looked like an absolute idiot. I mean, who knows? Maybe people would have been like, oh, that poor girl. Like, good for her for trying. Or they'd have been like, that fat loser. What if she didn't even get out of the class?
Why didn't you ask her to airdrop it to you?
I would have cried. So anyways, I see it and I like look away and I'm like, oh my gosh, are you? I felt so violated and so just like, it was just so ridiculous. It should not have been allowed. And I immediately, what's wrong?
Are you crying?
No, I'm not. I immediately grabbed my stuff and just like walked out. I was like, I mean, I took a second to think and I was like, no, I don't feel comfortable. And I also didn't feel comfortable looking at this lady and being like, get your phone away from me. Like, what are you doing filming me? But I was like raging. I was so embarrassed, so upset. I just felt so violated. Anyways, I grabbed my stuff and I just like walked out. The class had like maybe 10 minutes left and I have never been back since. And I have never seen that video of me on social media, thank goodness.
She probably has like 12 followers.
Probably. But this story, when I read it on Reddit, I was like, Oh my gosh.
That's what it's based on. You get it?
Anyways, that's my story about the gym. And I don't think phones should be allowed at all. I think there needs to be like set places for influencers that they can film.
Like hell?
At the gym.
Yeah.
Yeah. There should definitely be set places. Because, I mean, I get it. If you're a fitness influencer, you got to get content. And gyms are the best way to do it. But people that are just trying to get their spark back, man. Like, frick. Let us freaking normal average-sized people be.
Yeah. Let us be.
Let us be. All right. Well, our daughter just woke up. So let's finish up this episode.
Okay. I'm not going to get any time to game. All right, guys. Well, that was wrapping up the summer Reddit stories. What? This is the 9th time you want to dab me up. Go ahead, dab me up, cuz. Shit, yeah, bud. Okay, can I end this now? Gosh. The vibes are different over here today. We'll see you guys next week if we do. I don't know what's going on. Follow along, like, comment. We love you. Especially shout out to those of you that listen to the podcast. It's a growing crowd. But just know we appreciate you guys. And we don't get to interact with you as much as like the social media folks.
Internet frenzy on 3. 1, 2, 3. Internet frenzy.